So we began yesterday the sugya of Liba v'Libsa Harua. Now if you take a look at Tosus right up front, what question is Tosus asking himself about Liba v'Libsa Harua?
Can the wind itself be the, can the wind itself cause this fire to spread, or the wind by itself, not any other intervention, is it weak, too weak to really get a fire?
So that's an excellent point. According to Tosus, we have to whittle down the case, and by eliminating other possibilities, we'll come to the right shot in what this price is talking about, Wayechav. So the first possibility is that we have to analyze the ruach. What's the ruach in this case capable of doing on its own? Is it capable of doing the libui? And then we have to ask, what question is going to come next in Tosus?
About the person.
The person. Is the person capable of doing the libui on its own? And in each... in each question, we can subcategorize it and ask ourselves, for example, if the ruach cannot do it on its own, then what question comes on the next level?
Then, if does that make, does that have an effect on the big five of Hatter?
Right, but I'm saying in terms of just describing the case. So, if the case is what do you say?
Who had more to do with it, the wind or the person who had?
Correct. So, one question is, can the ruach do it all on its own? And in Tim Salomer, if you'll assume that the ruach can't do it on its own, then we come down to the next level question. Well, what then is the ruach doing? Is the ruach a 50% partner, or is the ruach just a mesayea? It's just adding, it's contributing, but it's not really critical. And that really, that really forces us to flip it to the other side and ask what he's doing.
Right.
And what are the possibilities of what he's doing? Number one, maybe he's doing it all on his own. Number two, maybe he needs the ruach and together they do it in partnership. But number three, maybe basically the ruach is doing it and he's got a secondary role in terms of creating the hezek. What does Tosus see in the term in the scriptural verse Hamavir es Habeiru? Why is that so important to Tosus?
To us or
to Tosus? To Tosus. That the Hamavir es Habeiru seems to set the background for the entire sugya, according to Tosus.
Well, he says it should be Ne'at Ma'asa.
Right, no, but I'm asking, what concept, in abstract terms, does Hamavir es Habeiru introduce into the sugya?
That the fire has to the hezek has to come pretty much purely from the person.
The hezek has to come from the person? Is that what Hamavir es Habeiru means?
The H is coming from
it. Exactly, the H. Who's gonna, what's gonna actually cause the hezek?
The H is actually causing the fire.
But what power, what agency is gonna allow, facilitate the H to cause the hezek?
The ruach,
that's for sure. We're not even up to stage two. The ruach will completely monopolize the picture here once we've established Hamavir es Habeiru. At that point, we have what's called Gemara Asiya. We'll see that in Tosus. And once there's a Gemara Asiya, then the Kochach Murubo, the Ruach, takes over. He, the Mavir es Habeiru, was never the one who caused the Hezek before, but the Torah apparently was Machadish that when we split up Eish into its two parts, the creation of the Eish and the Halachas Eish, which part of the two, which role of the two, does the Mavir have to play?
Has to play the Mavir.
Just to create the Eish. Right. He's got to be a Mavir es Habeiru. The fact that the Ruach comes later, that's a secondary situation. For example, it could be that when the Ruach takes over later, that's not Maisa HaAdam. What would you call it? If it's not Mavir es HaAdam, what would it be? You know, we always have to be machal between the Maisa HaAdam and what? If it's not direct, then it's called Grama. So it could be that as far as Halacha Ha'esh is concerned, the Mavir is nothing more than a Goring. And then you'll ask me the question, but wait a minute, Grama and Ezekiel is Potter. The answer is what did the Torah tell us in age?
That even despite that, you still fine.
So where's the Maisa Hezek as far as he's concerned? Where's the guilt?
The guilt is in the kindling it.
Correct. Creating the age, creating the Mazik, is the Machayev. The fact that the Hezek took place through the agency of the Ruach, which means that his role, as far as the halacha says, is nothing more than a grumman, that doesn't bother us. See, logically, if not for this structure, what would you have anticipated up front?
That grumman's a good father.
Right, he needs the potential of the Rebbe.
Right, he has to be not just the Osa Esa'ish, but he also has to be the Osa Esa'hezik. In what case, for example, in the laws of Ezekiel, would that be a classical case where he does the hezek?
Well, if he took the torch of fire and just touched it sometimes.
Well, what's that called?
That would be
So in other mamazik, he does the maisa hezek. In Eish, the chiddush is that he sets up the Eish, and now the second stage, meaning the halacha stage to do the hezek, he plays a secondary role. He's only a gorim. Right. So now Tosa says, if the Eish, because we're focusing now, I'm sorry, if the Ruach, gotta get that straight, if the Ruach could do the job on its own, it could be Mavir Esa Eish. Tosa says then he can't be Chayv. Why? Let's look at the language of Tosa. He says, V'she'en baruach b'fnei atzmo k'dei l'lavos, v'ayir d'iva sh'yesh bo k'dei l'lavos, afil k'she'yesh b'libui ha'malava k'dei l'lavos. This is interesting. Even though his libri in and of itself could create the Eish, but at the same time the Ruach could create the Eish, is loving his Chayav. Why should he become Chayav? And what are the next few words in Tosis? What does that mean?
That him, the wind would also going to be Mazik.
Do you accept that? Does anybody want to fight with that?
Yeah, I do. Because on one hand, you're right. Like, let's say I blew as hard as I could, and yet there just happened to be a big wind there then also. So, okay, without me, it would have gone to be Mazik, but without the wind, I would have been Mazik also. So the same logic applies both ways.
Excellent. In other words, why does Tosus put all the shift on one side of the equation, right, of one side of the coin, and say that if the Ruach would be able to operate on its own, therefore he's Potter? In a sense, Tosus is sort of completely negating his role, but why not turn it the other way around and say, well, he could have been Malava without the Ruach, and therefore let's make the Ruach completely irrelevant.
Wait,
one second, Miguel. Let me just, before you answer, I want to just make sure that we have the question, if you don't mind. I think it's a great question. I want to enjoy. Tosis is saying the following, that if the Ruach could do it on its own, he's out, he's part of it. Even though, says Tosis, he could have done it on his own. And the question that we're asking this Yehuda's question is, why don't we have the right to look at his role in the same, through the same eyes and the same standards, and apply to him what we're applying to the Ruach, and say, just like we're applying to the Ruach, the rule of, well, the Ruach could have done it on its own, let's completely discount what he's doing. Why not flip it the other way and say, well, since what he is doing could have independently created the Shalheves, the Eish, this dangerous fire, this Mazik, this Be'era, therefore, let's discount what the Ruach is doing. And if we discount what the Ruach is doing, clearly he's the Osa Esa Eish.
So, I mean, are you against that, saying that the difference is the Ruach, that would happen regardless? Meaning that, like, if the person didn't exist, then the wind would have blown.
The wind
would blow regardless. But the person always has a choice to, you know, retract. So, like, just because the person itself has the power, has the ability to ignite it, you decide not to. But the Ruach is going to come regardless. If there's a strong wind blowing, whether or not that person is in the vicinity, or is another, well, there is no person in existence in that area, if the wind is going to cause the fire to go, it'll cause the fire to go.
Like, so you're being machalic between the wind and the person, because the person has a choice, he can decide whether to do it or not. The Ruach is a given.
The Ruach is a given, it will cause the fire. Like, versus the kind of, almost like you could say, the Ruach is a constant, and the person is not.
Okay, but wouldn't that make the question even sharper? Meaning, let's make it into a Kalva Chomer. If the Ruach has no choice to do it, and yet the Ruach is considered the Osa Mazik, he who has the choice, certainly he, when he makes that decision to create the Eish, he is considered the Osa Mazik.
Just because the person has the choice to not do it doesn't mean he's any less part of the Mazik. I was thinking maybe, let's say...
You want to try a difference for it?
Yeah. Maybe let's say, like, let's say this is talking about two different people. So, and they both blow as hard as they can, and they both have the force to blow it out. So, if we're, let's say I'm the subject, let's me and you, so I'm the subject of the Gemara. So they would say, let's say I'm putter, because if I didn't do it, then you would have done it. It's not saying, I mean, it works the other way also, but since I'm the subject that we're talking about, then we're just going to say, without me, you would have blown it out. So same thing here, we're not saying that, I mean, in Hanami, it would work the other way also, but we're talking about the person that's blowing it, that he's the subject of what we're talking about. So we're saying without him, the wind would have gotten and blown it anyway, so he's going to be putter.
But I would say a difference. I could be not remembering the actual what the maskana of the Gemara was. But there's a case in Baba Kama over, I think the something like, I think it was a dropstick or kli or something out of the window of someone down below before it hits the ground.
Smashes it, right?
Where so the person, the one who dropped it, it was a machlokes. I think that if I remember correctly, the maskana was that the one who dropped it is one that's chayav, right?
The one who broke it is not happy because one of Tvira could talk about it.
Exactly. So, same concept. So, yeah, the guy has his own breath, technically, that he's blowing onto this spark, whatever it is enough that without the wind that would have caused it to go into flame. But then the wind is there. The wind's still there. It's not, it's like, you know, I guess the same idea, if you get the terminology, the
Mona Tvira Kotomi?
Yeah. And so it's the same deal. Like it's as if he's like, if when this guy's blowing on it, it's as if he's like smashing a thing that was ready to drop from the 50th floor.
Mm. Well, let me raise the fine chakir with you. When the Torah says Hamavir Sabeira, what does that mean? I'm going to give two possibilities. One is that his Maisa creates the Aish, and the other is that this Aish, looking not from his perspective, but from the perspective of the age, if we want to ask, to whom do we attribute, in Hebrew we'd say, L'mi anachnu mityachsim et ha'esh hazot. In other words, we take the esh as a given, and we ask ourselves, to whom does that esh relate? It has to be ha'maver es ha'be'ira. In other words, there's a two-way, according to the second approach we're saying, there's a two-way direction here. It's a two-way street. Deuce street. On the one hand, you have to do a maisa, which has the power and the potential to create the esh. On the other hand, I have to look at the esh as an object, as an entity, and I have to ask, can we attribute this entity to the person, to the individual who blew in this case?
What was the first option?
The first option is, well, let's just focus on the maisa. Did he do an action which resulted in the creation of the esh? The second way of saying it is, that's not sufficient. It's not enough to say Hamavir said Be'era, yeah, he did the Maisa of Hamavir. But rather, Torah says Be'era. And Be'era means I have to look at the Be'era and ask myself, well, who created this Be'era? The Nafkamina would be the case where he did a Maisa which has the potential to create the Be'era, but in truth, because of the reality of the Ruach, the Be'era was there even without his action. So it's true that if I isolate the Gavra and look at his action, he did create a Be'era because there was enough potential in his action to create the Be'era. But if I look at the Be'era per se, then to whom do I attribute this Be'era? Well, there was a Ruach and there was an Adam. So, you know, he can't claim that the Be'era was attributed to him, because even without him, if I isolate him, I bracket him, evaporate him, I still have the Be'era. Tosa seems to be working with which of those two definitions?
The second.
He wants to see not just a Maisa Ha'adam, which has the potential to create an Eish. He wants to see that this Eish is Mitzuraf to the Adam, meaning
solely to the Adam.
Solely to the Adam. So that's another Chiddush in Tosa. That's got to be solely to the Adam. As he reads in Mavir Sabeira, he reads that this Be'ira is his. Because what does Tosus want in Hamavir Sabeira besides the Maisa?
He wants to see if the Eish can be fully attributed.
In the context, in the constellation of Zikin, what else do we want to achieve here? Because keep in mind, in the case of Eish, as we discussed before, the ultimate Hezek is done through Grama.
I want to see like full Kofa maybe?
So that's what I'm saying. You have the full kocho in only as far as the first keta is concerned, you know, the creation of the Be'era. But as far as the halacha sa'esh is concerned, which ultimately led to the hezek, you really don't have his full koach. you need the ruach to serve that role. Right. So you know the ruach is the grama from his perspective. So once you introduce grama from the perspective of the hezek, what now becomes we? What element in the zikin, which is usually up front? No, I'm saying, I'm talking about tashlumin, but what I'm saying is in order to achieve and justify tashlumin, that the nizik could sue the mazik, there's a certain element that's really up front, plays the major role. In Aish, somehow it takes a back seat. What's the element throughout all the nizikim, whatever they may be? Adam HaMazik, and Shor HaMazik, and Bar HaMazik, what is the element that's always up front?
The girl's father.
Why? What are you missing in the case of Grom? Why are you potter in Ezekiel? Let's set the other way around. Why are you chayiv in Ezekiel?
In Ish.
No, I'm saying in general. What element has to be there?
Das. Kofo.
No, not Das and Kofo. Kofo we have. But there's another element that's even perhaps more profound, more high profile.
Come on, Das.
No. Pshia. What do I mean by pshia? Give me an English word for pshia.
Negligence.
But negligence towards what?
Shmira.
Shmira, which means what? Responsibility. Liability. That becomes a critical element in Nezikim. We'll see how it works in other Mamazik. That's a unique case. But once we have within Aish something less than full responsibility, then we shift, because as far as the hezek is concerned, what created the hezek at the end of the day?
The wind.
So now we need the madras of the era to play a major role to generate responsibility. So Tosus thinks it's not enough that you did a libui which could create an eish habazik. We need to go one step further for that responsibility. Can I actually point a finger of responsibility at you just because you did an action which created an eish? What reduces or diminishes that level of responsibility?
If the wind was involved in the lesson.
Not only involved, but in Tosa's first case, which he rejects, the wind could have done it on his own. So why am I responsible for something that would have happened anyway? I'm not sure if Tosa's would use that logic straight throughout all of the Zikin, but in Aish he needs it. Because in Aish we desperately have to come up with some level of responsibility. So Tosa says, you created the Aish, and only you created the Aish. Once we have A plus B, you did a Maisa, the likes of which, inherent in that Maisa, because we judged the Maisa, we waited, the Aish would have been created as a dangerous fire. And number two, the fire itself is attributable to you and only to you. So we now have two elements. We've got the Maisa, which creates violence, like you say, because it's my age, it's my mazik. And number two, I have the element of responsibility, because nothing would have happened if not for me. Good, let's go on in Tosis now, and we'll bleed it, and we'll try to put this all together. He says the following. Elevadai, by process of elimination, kishe'ein beruach kedei l'labos mayr. So therefore, who do we introduce as responsible for the hezek? Because the ruach couldn't have done it his own, right? The koach adam. Oh, but what role did the koach adam play? Because again, you have the ruach, you have libo v'libsa ruach. Oh, so that's going to be the distinction between the reish of the brisa and the sefer of the brisa. Can anybody tell me the distinction between the reish and the sefer?
Yeah. If he could do it without the wind, then he's Michael.
That's the ratio.
And if he's not, then he's not there.
Does the Gemara accept this Lamaskana, or this is just a Havni? It's only a Havni, because what's the Gemara going to introduce now at this juncture?
Different directions.
We're not up to different directions yet. What?
Zora.
Correct. So until we introduce Shabbos, we're at the point where we believe that if he, the Gavra, is only doing half, the Ruach is only doing half, together they join forces, he should be potter. The only case in which we can consider him to be solely responsible for the creation of the age is only if the Ruach is what? What term does Tosus employ? We discussed it yesterday. You remember? And he quotes a Gemara in Amatznia to prove his point. Well, you skipped the main word. Misayea in Bomanish. When is the Ruach called a Misayea?
When it doesn't have a koach to...
More than that. Not only doesn't have a koach, but he had the koach to independently create the Hezah. So now we have the following case. The Reisha is a case where the Ruach only plays the role of Misayea. The Sefer is a case where he, together with the Ruach, 50-50 share the creation of the Eish. What's that called in Shabbos terms when you have two people who are equally partners in creating in implementing a malacha? That's called Zein Yochol, V'Zein Yochol. So we have the terminology. So we have Misayeh in Bomash means that Reuven can do it on his own. Shimon is helping him. We have Zein Yochol, where Reuven and Shimon are equal partners. Tosfos says that the difference between the ratio of our Brisa and the Sefer is exactly that. The Reisha is Misayeh in Bomash. The Ruach doesn't really add anything significant, anything substantial. His Libui would have independently created the Eish. Therefore, he's Chayev. The Sefer is a case of Zein Yochol Zein Yochol, where I need both kochos together, they're both standing on each other's back, so to speak, joining hands to create the Eish. And therefore he's part. He cannot be considered, according to Tosfos, as the Mavir as a Be'era unless you have two conditions. What are the two conditions that have to be fulfilled in order to make him into a Mavir as a Be'era? Again, before the Gemara's Kash. Number one, you need that the Ruach is what? Nothing more than a Messiah, meaning the Ruach can't do anything. And number two, you need that
he has
independently did a Libui which would create the Eish.
Okay, so I'm a little confused from this Messiah Shembo Mamash, because the case we brought in yesterday was, let's say this is one hand is one person, one hand is the other person. So let's say this is a really strong guy. So he could carry this himself, but there's this guy here. But that doesn't mean that however much force he's put into it right now, he could carry himself. It just means that this guy wasn't there, he could do it.
Right.
So that means that, if you relate that back to this case, then that means that this guy that's blowing right now, the tzitzis is, it could be the tzitzis is that he's not blowing it strong enough to light it. It just happens to be that he had the potential to blow strong enough.
So I think that your question would require that we take out the sugyan hamatznia and go through carefully what's the case of Misayeh in Bomash. And it could very well be that your position, really, you're the proponent of Messiah Yesh Bo Mamash. Because what the Mandiomer of Yesh Bo Mamash is saying is that since Reuven did not put in all that energy, although he could have, but what happened in actuality, Kmo Shomrim Bashetach, is that Shimon supplied that energy force that was necessary to create the result because Reuven didn't put in all the energy. The potential that Reuven could have put in was not the actuality. But for that, we really, really have to, you know, to be honest about it, we'd have to really go through the sugya well.
Can we assume that that's a person's intentions? He doesn't want to be over on his servant. So when he lifts it up, he probably has intentions that he's not going to do it to capacity. Because otherwise, he can solely go ahead.
You know what I would say the following is, if he doesn't want to violate Shabbos, he may be pata. That might kind of come under shogun. We have to give him a hasra. We have to warn him that you're carrying it from this rishus to that rishus, and you're going to get skila for that. You know, we have to give him the whole 9 yards.
I'm saying every time that somebody picks up an object from another person, we assume that he has a das not to go out and use his full extent, right? If he knows that he's capable of lifting it,
in order to avoid the violation of Shabbos,
the Hulk will go ahead and lift something up. So the Hulk probably has das that he's not going to go ahead and lift up the object with the full.
Because he wants to avoid.
He knows I'm going to be over on Esther.
But the only thing is, do you know Esther after that throw, what has to happen?
He's got to do it again.
But something else has to happen before he does the malacha. Between that throw and the malacha, something has to come in the middle. Do you know what that's called? Matir Atzmo Lemisa. Did you ever hear of that? Which is a kind of a form of Kabbalah's Hasra, where he has to declare in front of two Edim. Afal pichain, even though I know I'm going to be chayev, I'm going to do it anyway. Then and only then does he become mazed. It could be there's an exception to that rule, but that's a sugyo. Chaver eino tzor chasro, whatever that means. But again, I don't think we should get too far afield because we got a belt of stuff to do here on the daf. you're raising an interesting question. What would be if he intentionally tries to put in less energy force simply because he wants to tiptoe, he wants to avoid the chiyuv melech ha'shabbos? But we're talking about a person who right now is interested in putting in his full energy, but he took siyua from the ruach. In such a case, misayeh ein bo mamash. When is he potter in the seifa? Is ein b'libuyo kidei labos? Ein b'libuyo ruach kidei labos? So therefore the ruach, in a sense, is working in tandem with the malava. We might join and integrate the forces, but we don't do so. Why? Because the Torah says, oseh es ha'esh. What's the language in the Torah? Not oseh ha'esh, those words you don't find in the Torah. Ha'maver sabera, which Tosa says, maver besera means, bifnei atzmo osa es ha'beira. He is responsible for creating an esh, which if it's carried from place to place by a ruach mitzuya, will be mazik. So it's got to be a soul effort. The chiddush of the reisha is that even though the ruach is participating in his libui, but since it's playing such an insignificant role, which is called what? Misayea is misayea ein bo mamash. Good? Now we're ready for the Gemara's kashu parich. The Adatosis, it's a little bit above the Gilyan Hashad. Uparich amai potter lehevi kisha osa haliboy alibui. Al yidei siyua haruach kilu asa bifnei atzmo. Wait a minute, I don't understand. Tosa just finished saying that his libu is not enough to set up this fire. So why is now Tosa changing his mind and saying kiilu asa bifnei atzmo? What new principle is Tosa introducing at this juncture, based on Zohar?
And you can use the wind's help.
That the wind is considered what?
Misayeh.
I'm afraid to use the word misayeh because then it might trigger off in our mind the halacha of the principle of misayeh momamish. Correct. That you can integrate. That's the word I need you to use. Mitzuraf or integrate. Those are your two choices for purpose of this discussion. You can be mitzaref the ruach into his, integrated into his what? His kah. And therefore it's ki'ilu asa'a bifnei atzma. Notice, the Tosus, even in the Kasha, is not dropping the ball on what? Which pasuk that we've been discussing today? Hamavris Avera. And what does Hamavris Avera mean? That he was the Osesah. The Chiddush here, the expansion of this rule of Mavris Avera in order to accommodate Melech HaZorah, is that he, the Malada, can utilize the force of nature as part of his kach. And now it's ki'ilu hu osa es ha'esh bifnei atzmo. And what's the proof for that? K'molin in Shabbos, t'choshin zora v'ruach mesayato ke'osa bifnei atzmo. What happens with the ruach in the case of Zorah? Yeah, he throws it up in the air, the wind carries it. Does Tosus have a good case here?
No, it's not bifnei atzmo. There's no way those
would have been
separated.
Wasn't the one. Ah, so you're making it even better. So you're proving even beyond that he's utilizing the forces of nature.
I
want you to ask a different kasha. I'm waiting for a different kasha here. I'm going to wait a little bit because I want to get this kasha. I think it's a good kasha. Is there any way of arguing the opposite, Ezra? That in this case of Zorah, the ruach is playing a secondary role. And that's why he's chayv. It's not like the case of liba v'libsa ha-ruach.
It goes hand in hand. Without throwing it up, the wind wouldn't have done anything. But without it been thrown up, if it wasn't for the wind, it wouldn't have happened.
But I want you to define what the ruach is doing in the case of esh. Let's say, for example, Reuven creates an esh from A to Z. What does the ruach do then? Okay, holachas ha'esh. What happens in the case of Zorah? In Zorah, have we proven that the ruach creates the malacha, or have we proven that the ruach drags the grain, transports it from place A to place B? It's a transportation. So wait a minute. I want to know if you can integrate ruach into his action of libui to create an esh. if the molabe is considered the osa esha'esh mavres ha'meira based on the ruach, I'm going to defend the Gemara's position. As it says in the Brisa, the Sefer of the Brisa, what's the answer to that question? No, 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 I'm asking in the Sefer of the Brisa, no molech t'mashevs. We're in Ezekiel now. If his libri is not enough to create a shalhemis, to create a be'era, you need the ruach. What's the position of our sefer, the sefer price? Correct. It's not his ma'isa. We do not integrate the ruach into his ma'isa. Good? So you have a kasha from Zora? I'll tell you something else. What's Zora parallel to? What's it parallel to in the ruach of Eish? Every Eish has ruach in it, right?
It's parallel to the
halachas Eish. So what proof do you have over here? We were splitting up Eish into two stages. There was the stage in which you create the Eish and the stage of halachas Eish. In the case of Zora, okay, you've proven to me that the ruach plays the role of halachas hatvua. But that's not enough. I need you to prove that in Hilchas Asiya, which means in creating an Eish, it's the Mavir Sabera, the Asiyas of the era, that the Ruach is considered Mitzurah, again that word integration, into his action. But that Ruach could be Molech the Eish after his Gemar Asiya, that we knew from the get-go. That was no problem. For sure he's Chayav. He's Chayav despite the fact that the Ruach plays the role of Olochas Ha'Eish. In the case of Tvua, what role is the ruach playing? Halachas HaTvua. So if Halachas HaTvua is parallel to Halachas HaEish, then the Gemara hasn't proven anything.
And it's the same thing also because, like by the Nezikin, the Nezik is the Halachas. Just like the by the Malacha is the Halachas also.
Correct. So if the Halach is the Malacha, then what have you proven from Zora? You've proven fine. I give you credit. I'm on board. Yay, yay, yay. You know, the ruach is gonna be molech the tefuah. Good, but that's not gonna satisfy me in terms of libui v'lipsa ruach. Libui v'lipsa ruach. I need that the ruach should be integrated into his action of libui. And what's the goal of libui? Not a lachas age, but what? Ma'aseh be'rasiyas age. How can you prove that ruach is mitzurif tasiyas ha'esh from the fact that ruach in the case of Zora is halacha satvua? Halacha equals halacha. So you want to prove that in mazik of esh you are chayav even though the halacha was achieved by what? By the ruach. I'm modal emes. I'm not going to debate you on that. That you have a great proof from Zora. But that's not going to help me with the asiyas, right? So well, I don't understand the whole premise of the Gemara's kasha.
No, because the premise of the Gemara's kasha is that because granted, maybe halacha equals halacha, but the whole idea behind Zora is that the halacha finishes his asiyah, is the start of his asiyah to create to be over a halacha. If it didn't complete his asiyah, then there wouldn't be he wouldn't be chayav of anything.
Wait a minute. So Binyamin is saying, and I'm hoping that the Tzibu will either agree or disagree. You know, that's I want to create a little ash here of our own. Binyamin is saying that in the case of Zora, the ruach is playing a role of asiyah. It's not just playing a role of halach, correct? And therefore, I can prove from the case of ruach that even in mavres habi'ira, the ruach can play a role of asiyas habi'ira. Anybody want to comment on that? We'll come right back to you, Binyamin.
I think I agree with it, if I understand what you're saying. Are you saying basically, like without the person, this wind had a part in everything anyways?
Well, wait a second. That's not good, Yehuda, because we know that in the case of Be'era, the Seif of Liba of Lips of Ruach, without the person, nothing would have happened. So that we know. We don't need to prove anything about that from Libun. What we need to know is that what the person did was incomplete in and of itself. In order to complete the Asir, you said it beautifully, Binyamin, you need the Ruach. Can we prove from Zoram, that's the issue on the table today, whether Ruach could participate in the Asir? Maybe, one could argue, that's what I was arguing 3 minutes ago, the Ruach in the case of Zora is purely playing the role of Halacha, but not Asiyah. Comes on Binyamin, he says, Rabbi Grossman, I like you, but I disagree with you. You're full of fire. of hot air, right? Because in the case of Zorah, the Ruach is clearly playing a role in Asiyah. Is he right? I'm going to say he's wrong. I don't mean that, but you know, just to try to generate some discussion.
In Tosafot says he's wrong, but I agree with his assertion.
Oh, why? Can you add something? Again, Ezra, I'm asking you not to say without the wind nothing would have happened, because again, even in the case of Liba Velipsa Ruach, without his Libui nothing would have happened. But nevertheless, he's Potter, according to the Brisa. So I want to defend the Brisa and say that it's not enough to say, well, without his action nothing would have happened. No, he has to do the Gemar Asiyah. Oh, let's integrate the Ruach. The Libui of the Ruach integrates into his. 1 plus 1 equals 2. Now we have a Gemar Asiyah because the Ruach is Mitzur of Elav in the Asiyah. Can you prove that from Zohar? In other words, what you have to convince me now is that the role that Ruach is playing in the case of Zohar is a role of Asiyah, not just a role of Halach.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I was trying to get the other guys involved. That's okay. I don't want to...
Isn't this totally on the focus of like us and regardless of us over like this basically isn't that a focus?
You mean the Bava Kamma Yitzayin? That's the over there with the mana. Yeah.
It's literally the same thing. If you say it's the person himself and he throws it up, then it should be bus and recar. You say that it's the wind is its own action, it's not an addendum or extension of the other person, that should be bus or bus over.
But the only thing is, I'll tell you the truth, Ezra, why stretch your arm all the way out to Bava Kamma Yitzayin, you know, that very complicated sugya? Can't we focus on Zohar and come to the conclusion that the Ruach itself is playing a role in the Asiyah? Just redefine your Asiyah. See, we thought Asiyah was pulling the chaff in one direction. I don't know if that's the Asiyah. What is the Asiyah? Not the pulling of the chaff, but what?
Separating.
Beautiful. And then the Ruach is doing the separating. Do you see it? Yeah, but I'm sorry. I really want to get back to you. What do you want to say?
That's what the whole process was.
Yeah, because what's Zohar? What is Zohar?
Zohar is very much kind of sifting, but using the wind is what's enabling to do the sifting.
Great. So what's your goal in the case of Zohar? What do you have that you don't want?
You want to get rid of the chaff. I think it's the chaff.
Right. The klipo, whatever it's called. Right.
So when you throw it up, if there's no wind, it comes back down. You didn't achieve Zohar. You didn't achieve Malacha. You're not chayav anything. You didn't do anything.
Right.
If they're up and the wind comes, suddenly you're chayav. It must be because the wind is completing your action of your malacha.
In the case of halacha, we wanted to say that the ruach is playing a role of halacha, right? In every halacha, we need X and Y. What is X and Y? In halacha,
we need the.
I'm saying location X and location Y. What is halacha? You start in one one point. That's your point of departure, and you have a point of destination. Correct? That's called halacha. To get it from place A to place B, obviously, place B is your goal for the halacha. In the case of Zohar, is there a place B?
No,
not at all. I just want my tefuah. I don't care where the chaff is. I mean, I'll call a janitor to clean up the chaff.
There really is a place B, though, because place B is just anything that's not place A.
So that's what I think we're saying now, that the Gemara's premise here is it's not that we want to get the chaff out of a certain place, but rather we want to recreate an object. Every Malach and Shabbos means recreating an object, with one exception. There's one of the 39 that's not so. Which is the one of the 39 that's not so? We're not recreating the object?
Carrying.
Is Hotzah. Correct. Hotzah is called a Malacha Grua. You remember that? A Malacha Grua. Because Hotzah, there's no change of the object, only in the locale of the object. But every other of the 38, you change the object. It's a Chidush in the Chepta. And therefore, in the case of Zohar, I need to change my Tefuah. So it's not that I want to relocate my chaff. The role that the Ruach is playing is in the Etzam HaMalacha, the Gufash HaMalacha, namely, setting up a tefuah minus a chaff. What do you do with tefuah without a chaff? You beat it up, you pound it, you make it into flour. But if it's got the chaff in it, it's not going to taste too good. Maybe it's good for certain diets, you know, the bran cereals and all that, but it's not good for somebody who likes solace. And therefore, the malach itself of Zohar is being generated and being created by the Ruach. The ruach is part of the guf asiya, the asiya of halacha. In the case of halacha in Eish, it doesn't bother me one iota that the ruach is playing a role, because the rule in the classical case of Eish is the ruach doing the asiya of hamavris habeira, or is it doing halacha? Prove it. In my model of X to Y.
The wind takes the fire from point X and brings it from Y into the mazik at point Y.
Correct, because what's at point Y?
The nizish.
The dabra nizah. In other words, I need the halacha to play the role of getting the H from point A to point B, up to the dabra nizah. Since Tosis, that's built into every H. That's exactly what H is. But to get it from point A to point B, you first have to be over the avera, so to speak, of mavres abeira. You have to be responsible for nasiya. You want to use the ruach? I have a question. Can you use the ruach or not? So Gemara in the Hamina thinks you cannot. You don't have the mavres abeira. But the Gemara says, I'll prove it from Zora. Because in Zora, the ruach is part of the asiya. The asiya itself is changing the nature of your weak kernels. And that's being done by the Gemara.
But it's a little bit different, because by the Zikin, the asiya is just, all you're doing is making a mazik. And then the wind is solely doing the mazik. It's doing the nizik, the wind. Whereas by the asiya of the malacha,
yeah,
the asiya is the malacha.
Good. So what I'm just saying is, if you agree that ruach could be part of the asiya of malacha, and if that's what ruach suings are, then ruach has to be part of the asiya of age.
But the asiya, I could be just thinking about it wrongly, but I thought the asiya by malacha is doing the malacha. But the asiya by Aish isn't doing the nezikin, it's doing the preparation for nezikin.
Good, so that's the chiddush of Aish, that once you do the preparation of the Aish, namely, Hamavres Habir, your asiya creates the Aish, then you chal. That's the chiddush of the Torah in Aish. But the question is, can I be mitzarif, can I integrate the ruach into my koch of creating the H of Mavres HaBe'ira? The Gemara thinks, nah, me no. Gemara says, what do you mean? What are you going to do with Zorah? Zorah is your paradigm that the Ruach can play a role in the Guf HaSiyah, in exactly what you want to accomplish, or what you're responsible for. Namely, creating an H in the case of Mavres HaBe'ira, or recreating your seeds of barley, your kernels of wheat, in the case of Zorah. Alright, let's go on. So now the Gemara says, "Umeshani Abaye." So let's, Rabbo said, let's read through the Gemara very quickly. Does anybody want to do this with me? Omar Abaye. Let's start with Omar Abaye. Just like Mamish, zip through the Gemara, just simple touch. You know, yes. Just give me the translation.
That I'm going from one way, from one direction, and the wind's coming in a different direction.
Excellent.
Rava Amar Kagon Shaliva Baruch Mitzuya, Vilibusa Livto Aruach Baruch Shein Mitzuya. That my blowing is a Baruch Mitzuya and the wind is a Baruch Shein Mitzuya. Razer Amar Kagon to Samra Tzimure, that you just like blew something on it, like before, right? Ravashi Amar Kiamrina Zoro Baruch Messiasa Hanimili Lehin Shabbos, the Melechas Machshavas of Surah Torah. That by the Zorea and the wind's helping it, that's only by Shabbos where it's Melechas, where you need Melechas Machshavas. Right, that's that. If there's malachas mashavas, then the Torah answered it. Aval hacha grama ba'amahu, but grama nizikin pater. But here, by nizikin, we know that grama is pater.
So, if I asked you how many different answers to the Gemara's kasha are there,
four.
If I asked you how many different shitas are there, what would be your answer?
Three.
Oh, I don't know what you mean by three. I only see two. But what do you mean by three?
No,
who did you drop? Yeah, and who are the two? In other words, out of these four answers, can you line them up one against three? In which there's really one machlokus here between one of the four answers and the other three.
Whether or not the, what's it called? The last answer that was brought by Ravashi is on one side and Allah is there on the other side.
Excellent. How do you know that Ravashi is on the other side? He's like Me'ever Hanar, you know, he's... We'll call him Ravashi HaIvri.
Because he doesn't change the case of the... He doesn't talk about the case. He's talking about, like, whatever...
Excellent. Number one, he doesn't talk about the case. Number two, what else? What does he deny that the other three answers succeed, accept.
The Zoraya is complicated. You can bring Zoraya into the scenario.
And compare what to what? Zoraya to?
And Zoraya to the CSIH, the same way that...
Oh, and let's conceptualize even further, more abstract thing. Shabbos to Nezikin, correct? Okay. So Rav Ashi denies the very premise and the very assumption of his kasha. You have no right and no justification to compare Shabbos to Nezikin. And what rule in Shabbos sets Shabbos up as the exception?
Let us not
Shabbos. Whereas the other three shitas are going to derive conclusions from Meleches Zora, meaning Shabbos, to Nezikin. And Rabosa, what we want to do now, as we go through the three answers, is we want to now see what the first three answers conclude based on Meleches Zora, Halacha L'maisa, as far as Aish is concerned. So let's go through it one by one. Okay? And every one of those conclusions, respectively, for Abaye, for Rava, for Abizera, each one of those conclusions is going to be denied by whom? By Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is going to say, you've moved from the original position, and you have no right to do so. The original position is correct, says Rav Ashi, and in Hilchas Nezek Mazik of Aish, you will not be chayav unless you did enough to independently create the ish. Our original premise, I repeat, for myself, not for you, that Mavres of Eira means you independently put in a koach here, which would create the Be'era, then you're chayav, and only then, if you needed the help, again, a significant help, not talking about Messiah, because that's the ratio of the price, but if you needed significant help from the Ruach, is Ein Ruach Mitzurefes Eilav Lemaisa Asiyas Ha'ish. Clear? That's going to be the position of Rav Ashi. The other three Amoraim are going to say no. If you have a joint effort, A plus B, you have the Libui of the person together with the Libui of the Ruach, each one needs the other one, then, in such a case, according to the other three Shittas, you are Chayav. Where's the Ose Esa Be'era? Because the Eish, excuse me, the Ruach, is Mitzuruf Elov. And how do I know that? What's the source for that? From Meleches Zora. Because the other three Amoraim are rejecting the Chiluk of Meleches Machsheves, and therefore we go back to our equation in the of the Machshen, which means we break through new ground and we say, I don't care if your Libui was independently capable, you still consider the Osa Severa because we're Mitzaref the Ruach. Good? Okay. So then, according to each of these three Amoraim, we have to come up with a scenario to explain the difference between the Reish and the Seif. But why are you chayav in the Reish and Potter in the Seif? So according to Abaye, there's a fundamental difference between the Reish and the Seif. In the Reish you chayav because we can be mitzaref, the Ruach into the Asiya, the Libui of the person. And why is that? They're in the same direction. But in the Seifa, we cannot, we don't have the ability to be mitzaref, the Ruach, to the person because they're working in opposite directions.
I don't understand at all.
Okay, wait a second. Yehuda, before you ask your question, let me just think about where we're holding. I just want to make sure we've covered all our bases. Yeah, go ahead. Now we got it.
Okay. I understood what we were talking about yesterday about change of direction, how that matters with the Zikin. But here, it's like a lot different. Like, you have a spark, so it doesn't matter where the wind's coming from. It just needs, like, let's say 100 wind. So if I'm blowing 80 and the wind's 20... it doesn't matter what direction it's coming from. Lomai said this spark is getting 100.
So wait, let me ask this, you this. Just on the level of physics, because your knowledge of physics is probably by far beyond mine. If you have a wind going, you know, from, let's say, south to north, and another wind going from north to south, and they meet right in the middle, are they working in tandem to create more of a wind, or are they negating each other?
Well, in terms of this, I thought
just in physics, I don't know.
I thought about like a fire, like it just needs the wind, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, so I have to tip my hat to you because you know more about physics than I do.
I don't know if that's true, but
it seems to me, Yehuda, that Tosus is working with a different premise, and maybe that's going to be the reason why Rav is not going to buy into Abaye, Rav Zeir is not going to buy into Abaye. Maybe Rashi is going to reinterpret this Gemara. We'll see, but. Just in terms of Tosfos, and we'll see this in the Re, in the Baal Tosfos, the Re, right in a minute. I think the premise that Tosfos is working with is that there's a head-on collision here between two blows of air, in which they're pulling in different directions because they're at each other's throats. Let's see first the text of the Tosfos. He says, "Umeshani Abai." This is the Ribal Tosfos. The Hachamay Askinon Kigon Shaliba Mitzad Echad Shebeinian Zed Ein Derech Haruach Lesayo. He says the Ruach is not going to help him. Ulekach ki misrami. How would you translate the word misrami?
It happened.
I would add another adjective here. Misrami means coincidentally almost it happened. Meaning it's not something that's normal, that's predictable. Shenistayea b'libui haruach. So again, you're asking, but wouldn't the Ruach help him, even if it's coming tzaracher? Tosus is saying we don't anticipate that happening. Misrami, it happened. Shenistayea b'libui haruach. He was helped by the Ruach. Says Tosus potter. Why is he potter? At the end of the day, he was mistayea. What does that mean, he was mistayea?
He was helped.
The two winds have integrated.
Right.
The result was A plus B. So why is he potter? And the answer is, he didn't anticipate. And if he didn't anticipate it, which element in the Zikin is lacking?
Shin.
Or, in English? Responsibility. Okay? The lo havi li lasuki adaite, it never dawned on him, she itztarif libuy haruach in libuyo. And by the way, just to knock the nail in him, you know, Tos says another two words here. Which other two words? The lo shchiach. What does that mean, the lo shchiach? This is uncommon. She it's tarfah. V'lo havi leli zarvakach yosim imaruach sheina mitzuya. Tells have a beautiful comparison. In Eishin achayef olochas Eish, if that ruach is what? Eina mitzuya. We can't hold you responsible. I didn't know lo asakatayit. There's no element of shia. I can't be held responsible. I didn't anticipate that happening. Says Tosas here too. It's lo shchia. It's not less lo shchia than the case of ruach sheina mitzuya. They're equal. Did it enter into my mind that the Ruach would be mitztarif to my libui? I never thought such a thing would happen. I'm going from this direction, the Ruach has come from the other. What's the technical problem with Tosfos? You know, when you read this Tosfos and plug it into the Gemara, you should be rubbed the wrong way. Maybe I didn't ask my question precisely. What I mean to say is, what do you have to buy into in order to accept Tosfos' interpretation of Abai?
That, it's just what he's saying, that the two winds collide, that does prevent, that's not conscious out of part of it.
But again, in terms of reading the Braisa, what do you have to now presume according to Abai, the way Tosfos presents the reading?
That the case of the Seifa is the case for this having collision of winds.
Okay, good, but that I think is pretty close to what Abai said. Right. But not only do you have to assume that there's a head-on collision, but that what happened at the end of the day?
It did land. It went on the low.
And what's that called in Tosfos' language? Lo shchiach, correct? Do we want to assume that what happened in the Sefer of the Braisa is lo shchiach? I would claim that Rashi has a much simpler pshat. Why stand on your head and say, according to Abaye, what happened in the case of the Seifa was a miracle? You know, something unusual, unforeseeable. What is Rashi say? Two words in Rashi. Did you notice this Rashi?
Lo ahani
ihu. Three words. Yeah, the lo ahani ihu. How do you translate that?
Not quite sure.
What?
Not quite sure.
Okay. Anybody? Lo ahani ihu. Instead of the word ahani, I'm going to plug in its Hebrew translation, its Hebrew counterpart. Lo mo'il ihu. Ihu means him. What does that mean, lo mo'il, with an ayin?
It doesn't help us beneficial.
It didn't achieve anything. It did not in any way contribute. In other words, according to Rashi, did anything miraculous happen here? Anything unforeseeable?
No.
Exactly what happened. But what caused the libui of the Eish?
Him. The wind.
Him or the wind?
Rashi
says, "Lo ahani ihu." He was not Moel. Who's the he?
The
boy. Actually, Ruach is lush and capable, but that's not my proof. You know, you would never use neither she or she in this context. No, so according to Rashi, what's Abai's answer? Did the Gavra and his Libri create this Eish, or did the Ruach and its Libri create this Eish? It's the Ruach Lo Ahani Iyu. And in a certain sense, Rashi is simple, as Rashi always is.
I don't understand that. He's saying that there's more power in this, like that the wind happened to be stronger in the statement than the ratio? Because you said in the ratio it was like 50-50. And now we're saying it was all the wind.
I hear. You know, Rashi is saying that the direction in which the wind actually brought the Eish, you know, carried the Eish, and where the Hezek actually happened, is clearly attributable to the Ruach. So Yehud is asking very well. I didn't think of this question. Beautiful question, that in essence then, what do we do with the premise that the Ruach itself did not have the power? Does Rashi say anything in the previous Rashi? No. Lehevi Kizora, the Chai Mishamon, he doesn't really get into this whole discussion.
You can say that he just doesn't hold that Tosfos, that the good doesn't have to be talking about a case.
Let's just read this ratio of the Brisa. According to Rashi, Liba Velibso Haruach, in Yesh Belibuyo Kedela Labosa. So that might mean, well, this would be fascinating, that Rashi doesn't buy in to Tosis's expanded definition of Hamavris Abir. Let's go over Tosis's definition. Tosis's definition of Hamavris Abir means that you, the Malaba, were capable of creating the Eish, independent of the Ruach, but the Ruach was not. Because had the Ruach been capable, Tosis says, that even though you did a Maisa of Mavris Abir, but the Abir itself is not attributed solely to your Libui. Rashi doesn't buy into that. Rashi is saying no. The Ruach could have done the job. But who actually did the job?
The man.
The man. His Libui created the Eish. If his Libui created the Eish, that's called Amavris HaBeira. In the Seifa, clearly his Libui did not create the Eish. How do I know this? What's the proof? That where was the Eish brought? Not in a northerly direction where he was blowing, but rather in a southerly direction. But do you appreciate the simplicity of Rashi? You know, on the one hand, I have a feeling, I sense in my bones that this is like a classical machlokes between Rashi and Tosis. You know, when Tosis does pulpulim and Rashi just straight away, you know, he cuts away right at the pshat. He's saying, look, the Ruach is going in one direction. His Libri was in the other direction. So Tosfos says, well, something funny happened to you. What happened? There was an air pocket. You know, the wind took a U-turn and somehow swung around, linked up with your Libri, and therefore we should be mitzaref the Ruach to your Libri. And the answer is, Eino chinami. But you're potter anyway. Why are you potter? Because you didn't anticipate a U-turn on the part of the... In other words, Tosis has to go through a whole rigmarole in order to create a low shchiach situation, a ruach that's going against your libui, and yet it helped your libui. So the ruach somehow came around and around in a world when the sweep. Low shchiach, he never anticipated. Rashi doesn't need that. Rashi doesn't mention anything about the fact that there was something low shchiach that happened here. Rashi doesn't present a model of a case that a fluke happened. Rashi doesn't mention lo havale, lo haylo, la sukiya daite. All that is left out. Three words in Rashi. Lav iu mahan. He didn't do it. He didn't cause the hezek. Haraya? He was blowing in the opposite direction. See, Yehuda asked me, but wait a minute. But the Eish, all of a sudden, had the power to do it on its own? What about the Rashi? The answer is, I don't care about the fact that the Ruach could do it on its own. As long as he did a Libri, which inherently...
So then Rashi doesn't care about inevitability every time he has
exactly. The whole concept of inevitability... Well, wait a minute. What do you mean by inevitability? Say it again?
In the Resha,
yeah,
that he'd be chayav for, the wind would have inevitably made the fire anyways.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Correct. Correct. And Monatvira Kotavar is irrelevant according to Rashi. Why? Because that was Mafkir the Hefta. You remember we discussed yesterday. Here you're not Mafkir the Hefta because we don't know in this radius where what's going to be burnt up. But what we do know is that the Eish is going to become an Eish. So Tosa says, if the Eish is going to become an Eish, he cannot wave the banner and claim sole responsibility of Hamavris of Eirash. Why not?
I'm just looking at like the heroes of the freeze frame, who created the fire, the winter.
Exactly. And that's what that was your point from the beginning against Tosa. But I'm saying now, Rashi would support it. Good. Now Tosa comes up with a whole new shot. Maybe Tosas himself is feeling the heat a little bit under the collar. Lo shchiach, and the wind came around, and they worked together in tandem. Forget that. Says Tosas, v'yod yesh lefarish, kigon shaliba mitzad echad. I get very excited about this v'yod yesh lefarish. Sheer brilliance. I get chills when I read this. Kigon shaliba mitzad echad. She'ein b'libui, what does he mean mitzad echad? A new pshat in tzadik. We're not talking about directions now. What are we talking about? All right, let's read it through then. It's finals week, so. V'od yesh l'farish kod sh'liva mitzad echad, she'ein b'libuyo l'lavos kol ha-madura. What's madura? Oh, you guys never went to Camp Moshavah, I see that. In Camp Moshavah, Madura, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Okay, well, in some camps they have these campfires. You know, they have these kuzitzin, and they make that's called a Madura, right? So it's a bonfire, right? So where did he blow? Ein b'libui labos kol Madura. His libui did not have the power to fan the entire flame, because where was he blowing? What does mitzad echad mean?
On one half of it,
exactly. The lo beruach, the ruach also couldn't have created this madura, because where was the ruach coming from? The other half, ela litzad acher, litzad echad, the madura, litzad echad the madura, is liba hu, litzad echad liba ruach. So each one was working on a different part of the madura. It's so creative. The lo haisa madura mislava. If you choose any tzad, whether it's the ruach tzad or the gavra's tzad, hayaholich v'kava. What does the kava mean? Kibui will become extinguished. Ma'apashumuat. So half is zero, but half plus another half is a whole. U'machmasha ishus. What's ishus?
The fire.
The fires. Ishos, right? Mischabros yachad. It's interesting. The two halves of the madura work together. They each heat each other up. I mean, you could say a whole drush on this.
It's interesting that it's in the star here.
Okay, wait, you're ahead of me. I'm just reading it through. It's miskadelas ha'esh umazekes. Now let's stop here, because now Tosa is going to ask a question and give an answer. So what is Tosa saying over here? What is Abaye's chiddush? What did I think before Abaye? Meaning, before the Sefer the Brisa, the way Abaye interpreted it, and what do I know now after the Sefer the Brisa? What would be the svarah to say that even in the Sefer, he should be chayav?
Because it's 50-50, like we said before. 50-50 is mitzaref.
Correct. If we're integrating the Ruach together with the Maisa Koch Adam, and we saw that in the model of what?
Zoreh.
Then this is a perfect case. I worked on the top half, you worked on the bottom half. The two ishos are mechamavo zuetzu, asha ola shalavis meilea. We together, meaning the person and the ruach, created an ish, a mavres of the era. Are you talking about the ruach did it? The answer is, we look at Melechasora, and we derive from Melechasora that the ruach could be good stuff. Really, no? I'm out of left field. How did Tosa think of this? Okay, but now what question are we left with that Tosa's going to have to face now? He's going to address it in just a minute.
We said in the beginning, Tosa said that it is 50-50, that's the case, and you're going to be chayev, so why here are you chayev?
Based on what are we going to be chayev? What's the basis, the source, the proof text that you're chayev? No, I'm asking, what's the proof, what's your model from which I know that you can be tzarif the ruach to the person Zorah, correct? So tell me then, what are you doing with Zorah now? You've derived from Zorah clearly, and we said before that the Ruach is part of the Asiyah of the Zriah, of the Zorah.
But there are two separate Asiyahs that come together.
Where's there? In our Raisa of Libo Lipsa Ruach, you mean? Or in Zorah?
The old Pirish, Vod Yisabarish, he's saying that when he says on different halves of the Madura, it's not that the wind is not helping the person's Asiyah. It's each one, the way he describes it, he says that there's two fires that come together and it's Gadala. right? Meaning that he says it creates a fire, but then it gets extinguished. It's too weak of a flame, but it's still a fire. It's not like they're both coming in the same exact spark. So that they can't say Zora is in the Chaber to this very, it's equivalent, so to speak, to be in the Chaber to the very spark that he's doing. But over here, it's two separate Asiyah, so to speak. There's Asiyah of the Ruach, and there's Asiyah of the Gavra. And the Asiyahs merge into one.
Excellent. You know, but what I want to ask you is this, just to push you a little further. What sets these two Ribuis as two separate Asiyahs? So that they can no longer be Mitzvah. In other words, again, if I look at the Madura, why do I see two separate Asiyahs here? Why not say together, you on the northern side, me on the southern side, we created this Madura? Why do you insist that they're two separate Asiyahs?
Two directions.
They better. Because they're two Heftis. In other words, the Havamina was that we view this Madura as one Hefta. If we view it as one Heftza, then there are two Asiyos that combine together, defined by their target, namely one Heftza. But the Maskana is, the Chiddush of the Brice and the Sefer, is that no, I view this as two different Heftzas. True, the Heftzas have an interrelationship and they work, one is Mashpi on the other, so there's a Mashpi and a Mushpa in both directions, but it's two different Heftzas. Two Heftzas generate two what?
Two
Asiyos. And if they're two Asiyos, we can never be the same. Let's read it inside. Tosfos says the following. It says, V'lodomi hashta lizore v'ruach misayoso demashaliba losia haruach lum. In other words, what does it mean, mashaliba? What is the ma referring to?
The
little
fire.
That fire, correct. That chefta the H. You see, Tosfos doesn't want to view this chefta as one integral entity. If you view it as one integral entity, namely the H, whether it's this part of the H or that part of the H, then there's no two Asiyos over here, there's one Asiyah. And if there's one Asiyah, I can be Mitzarif the Koch HaRuach to the Koch HaGavra, and that's exactly what I learned from Zora. Emphatesis name. In Zora, there's one Asiyah because you're dealing with the Tvua. On that Tvua, there's one Zriya. And I can be Mitzarif the two forces. But in the case of the H, the way Abai constructs it, there are two separate Heavens. So I'm also, to summarize, we have three different interpretations of Abaye. One interpretation of Abaye is that his Libuy in the Sefer did absolutely nothing. Whose interpretation is that?
Rashi.
Rashi, excellent. The second interpretation is the Re Balatosvis, where he says, Nate, there was something unusual that occurred over here. And therefore he's Patur. What was unusual? That somehow the Ruach made this sweeping move and linked up to his leaf. And now we have the Od V'yesh L'farish. The Od V'yesh L'farish introduces, I'm tripping you up now, I'm deliberately tripping you up, introduces Lo Havi Le Lasuki Adaiti. Is that correct?
No.
Incorrect. No word here about Lo Havi Le Lasuki Adaiti. Has nothing to do with Lo Havi Le Lasuki Adaiti. They planned it. I shouldn't say they, because the Ruach is not really an accomplice in the crime. But he, the Malaba, planned this out beautifully. He's going to work here, and the Ruach is going to work there, and together we'll get this Eish getting up. No! You're put for a different reason. Because Amavir Sadeir, you're not considered the Oses of the Ero, because in this case we can't be Mitzari. The Ruach to your action. But, let's get back to our pure construct. What would Abaye say about the case where his libui works together with the libui of the Ruach 50-50? What would be the deal in Eish? And that's where Rav Ashi is going to disagree. Rav Ashi is going to say, Name, you never considered the Osa unless you can do it independently. Misayim, Bomad, fine. But if it's 50-50, there's no Magris of Eira, we will not be Mitzarif the Ruach into your Maisa, and that's exactly what we thought in the Havamina. What are you going to do with Zora? Lechus Makshavos. Okay then. I just want to take this opportunity. Thank you. Wish you all a good Shabbos. You know, in case we don't get a chance, I don't know if you'll be here tomorrow, you won't be here tomorrow.